We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We are live at Wolfie's on Lake Conroe. Sean Pendergast alongside Clint Sterner and Wade Smith with you. I'm with you till 4, and then these two suckers got you from 4 to 6, as Lou Holtz would say.
Yes, sir, we do.
We're going to take you home, baby.
Yep, you'll get these people home. So, and a lot of stuff to get to, including qualifying our next person for the flyaway, Texans Chiefs flyaway to the game this weekend. That'll be later on in this half hour. Be listening between 2:45 and 3 o'clock. Before we get to the thoughts of Dan Orlovsky, and I think, do we have some lock dog thoughts on this?
Not in this one. That's the schedule conversation. Right. I just wanted to make it clear, lock dog said ain't no good. And Lopez said, wait a minute, no good. He said, yeah, no good. It wasn't just relatively speaking. Right. He didn't give us that.
There was no caveat.
Just straight up and down, no good.
The Chiefs defense is what we're talking about. Landry said Chiefs defense, no good. We'll get to them in just a second. I threw a number out there last week. This wound up being a pretty good topic once you watch the game unfold. Is the number of impact plays J.J. Watt would have in the game, and I put it at 1.5. And I'm not going to lie, off the top in the game, when I saw how he was being used and how sparingly he was being used, I'm like, it's going to be tough for him to find two impact plays in the game. But he had the big sack that will be remembered forever, kind of kept that game within reach because it held Buffalo to a field goal at the time. And then he made some other plays down the stretch, Wade, including occupying four guys while Jacob Martin was getting loose for a sack.
What was the tackle for loss? Those are memorable plays. He had a tackle for loss, and I don't remember exactly what it was.
That's the thing about that game. There were so many big moments and so much going on and so much emotion involved. A lot of stuff kind of gets lost in the shuffle, and everybody remembers, of course, that Deshaun Watson played at Tywan Jones.
Yeah, of course. But I remember you tweeting at me, whatever play it was after the sack that put him over 1.5, you tweeted, like, there it is, and it was. It was an impact play.
See, I counted the play where the ball went through his hands because he did tip that ball. I counted that as an impact play because it got him off of the field. That was third down, and then when he made that sack, he was over. He made a couple other plays.
JJ is well over 1.5.
Yeah, no question.
He hit the one where he hit Josh Allen's arm in the fourth quarter in overtime.
That was the one where you tweeted.
That was the one.
That was the same play where
Zach Cunningham had beat up the running back. Remember, and Whitney was almost there and got a sack too. Yeah,
right.
It was a race to the quarterback.
So I think safe to say to win this game on Sunday, they're going to need more than a couple of plays out of J.J. Watt. And I think he's going to play enough to make more than a couple of plays in this game. So let me put out a number and see what you two guys think of it. I'm going to put the over-under on number of impact plays for J.J. Watt. Tackle for loss, sack, turnover. Something that clearly is something, it affects the flow of the game. Gets him off the field on third down, something. I'm going to put it at 3.5.
Man, I'm over.
Oh, that's tough.
I couldn't put my house note on it quick enough.
You think he's going to make more than 3.5 impact plays in the game?
In the rundown, I tried to guess your line, and my guess was 6.5.
Six and a half?
It's 3. I think he made more than that last week, and there was a lot less opportunity with Josh Allen trying to throw the football around. I go over, no doubt, no question.
I'm going to say over, but I'm going to put the number at 4. I don't think it's going to be something crazy with 5-6. They're going to devote a lot of attention to J.J. Watt. I think there's going to be other guys that get off because J.J. is out there on the field and they're putting so much effort to stopping him. But I'm going to put the number at 4. Give me the over.
When you talk about the screen pass that he hit, which he had another one too, by the way, it went right through his hands. He tipped the screen or a quick throw outside. The arm being hit, the tackle for loss, the sack. If that's the parameters around this bet, over all day,
over,
baby.
Okay.
Over all day.
I hope you're both right. I really hope you're right, Clint.
Yeah, come on.
You know, over all day. The Pendergast Sportsbook would be happy to pay both of you on those bets because we're big fans of the Houston Texans in that sportsbook. Let me throw another JJ question at you guys before we get to the Texans defense. This is something I threw at Seth towards the end of the show today, and I threw it at him at the end of a segment, and he's like, wow, that is a good question. Like, we got to the end of the segment, and I don't know that he was sure that he answered the question. But this goes back to what J.J. Watt said about Deshaun Watson after the game on Sunday. or on Saturday, where he was gushing about Deshaun Watson. You rarely see J.J. gush about a teammate the way he does about Watson. Let's not say he doesn't compliment teammates, but J.J. talks about Deshaun in almost reverential tone for a guy who's 7 years younger than him, and talked about how you always have a chance with Deshaun. He's a star. He makes plays. He was gushing over the plays that were made in that game to win that game. And we know that J.J.'s done everything he can possible to get back on the field. And I feel like a lot of the reason why he's back on the field, obviously, it feels like this team has a chance to go to a Super Bowl. And the main reason he feels like he has a chance to go to a Super Bowl is because of Deshaun Watson. So this is a what if. What if J.J. had suffered this injury in 2016 instead of a herniated disc in his back? If you remember, he suffered the back injury in week 3. He was done for the year. There was no question about it. What if J.J., instead of a back injury, in week 8 of that year, in 2016, suffered the torn pec, same exact injury, could have gotten back to the postseason.
Yeah.
But that's a team that's being quarterbacked by Brock Osweiler that went to New England as an 18-point underdog in the divisional round. Does J.J. And J.J. has mentioned the word risk many, many times with this injury. It's the reason I'm asking the question. He's acknowledged that there is a risk with him coming back from this injury. Does he look at the risk through the same prism? Does he assess this the same way if Deshaun Watson is not the quarterback, if Brock Osweiler is the quarterback?
I'd say 100%. I think it, especially,
you think he comes back unconditionally?
Yeah, I think he would come back. I think he would say all the right things to the media. Now, I believe behind closed doors, it's only fair to think that the belief is obviously extremely higher right now than it was back then. But I believe J.J. Watt is a guy that's cut from the cloth of if he can get on the field, he's going to absolutely get on the field regardless of who's playing around him. I believe it's the same decision.
No, I have no doubt that he would not come back in that situation. And the reason why I say that is this. When you look at J.J. Watt now, that's 3 years removed. He's starting to see the end of the road. That's one. For two, you got to think about it. If he comes back that year, what is he coming back for? When you have a guy like Deshaun Watson as quarterback, what he gives you is the most powerful thing that you can have in life, and that's belief. If you believe something, you can do damn near anything, right? And you can test yourself and push yourself to places you would never even contemplate doing before. I don't even think he would have even thought in his mind, you know what, I can actually come back from this pec thing in 8 weeks instead of waiting the entire season. Because I don't even think it would have dawned on him that way. You know what I mean? And then at that point of his career, that stage of his career, mind you, he's missed a whole season since then.
Yeah.
And so you couple that and what his legacy is, I just don't see him coming back at that time. And it's not because he's not the type of guy that would fight tooth and nail to get back on the field. It's because I don't even think it would have came into his mind that, you know what, if there's any little bit of a way, I'm going to try to force my way back. I don't even think it would have came up.
Would you have come back? Would you have worked your tail off to come back? The way he prefaced the question was because of Brock Osweiler versus essentially Deshaun Watson gives you a chance.
Yeah.
Does that factor make you determine of how hard you work to get back? Would that have affected you?
But I'm asking you though.
Would you if you were injured?
If a doctor tells me there's a chance, I'm going to do whatever I can to get back. But I don't think in 2016 the doctor is going to tell them there's a chance to come back. That's the difference.
Okay.
I mean, this is 2020.
Yeah.
Everything progresses as far as medicine. Everything progresses on things that can get done. And JJ, like, I'm sure the doctor probably told him, yeah, this has never been done. JJ probably starts saying, well, if I tried to do it, what would happen? And they probably went through all the steps of this is what would happen if, you know what I mean, you tried to come back. But the fact that he has Deshaun Watson, the fact that this is his, what, ninth year in the league now,
the fact that
he's missed so many games over his career, he probably pushed the envelope and said, you know what, hey, what would happen if I tried? I don't think that would come in his mind in 2016.
Yeah, the gist of my question was literally the quarterbacks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, would you come back for Osweiler the same way you'd come back for Watson?
I would. Personally, I would.
If you knew that you had a chance, of course you're going to try to come back.
Okay.
That's just part of being, like, wanting to come back for your teammates. It's not just about the quarterback. It's your teammates. But I just, you know,
yeah.
Realistically, I don't even think it would have came up.
I get it. Medicine has changed in those 4 years. That sounds like it's the gist of your answer. Yeah. So, but he's back now, and that's all that matters.
Yes, sir. 99's in uniform. Got pads on. Popping pads,
yep,
baby.
Absolutely. All right. So this This Kansas City defense has become a topic over the last few days. They are statistically better than they were the first half of the season. They're statistically, and I would say roster-wise, better than they were when they faced the Texans in Week 6. Chris Jones popped up on the injury report yesterday with a calf injury. I don't know what that's all about. He missed the first game between these two teams back in Week 6. We'll see what this calf injury is. I'd imagine the injury report's coming out pretty soon here in email, so we'll, as soon as we get it, we'll share it with the audience. But statistically, this Kansas City defense has been better. Now, the level of competition that they have played has not been great. Landry says they are no good. I was listening to In the Loop on the way up here. He is saying that the Kansas City defense is trash, basically.
Yeah, he's not a big fan. If you go back, essentially the gist of his point, it's a valid one. I think if you look at it, the quarterbacks that have had a lot of success, the good quarterbacks that this team's come up against, have had a lot of success versus this defense. I think that's a very fair statement. I think you look back at Week 6, the Texans turned the ball over twice in the first half, and they still put up 23.
Yep.
So that there's a lot of – I think there's some validity behind his point of the fact that there may not be as good as everybody's saying that they are. No good may be a little bit strong, but yeah. Lock Dog's known for strong takes.
He is. He is known for his strong takes. What do you say, Wade?
Yeah, man, they're an above-average defense at best. You know what I mean? They're not bad. They're not trash, but they're an above-average defense. And the reason why they're above-average is because they have four or five really good playmakers on their defense. Frank Clark, Chris Jones, Ty Matthew. They have guys like that make big plays for them. And then that's why they're a good defense. They're not a defense that just is solid all the way around, is going to hold up in the run game. They don't have that type of defense. So they're above average because they make plays. And so that's how I take them. But they're definitely not that whole, oh, they're a top five defense in the league because of the last four or five games. To me, that doesn't mean very much at all.
Landry says they're no good. Here's Dan Orlovsky on the Kansas City defense.
And their defense is fast, and they are dynamic. They take Jerron Mathieu, and obviously people of Houston know him well, and they do so many different things with him. And then their linebackers run side to side really well. And I think, like, what's happened is because they've got stars on defense as well. Like Chris Jones, Wade can tell you, Chris Jones is a problem in the middle of their defense. He is one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL. And so with Frank Clark and Chris Jones, they've got stars on their front. And then their linebacker and crew runs really well sideline to sideline. And Spags has dialed up some good pressures, and they're willing to play man coverage to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands.
All right, so hey, the cut's over. Okay, so so apparently they're somewhere in between total trash and being an elite defense, like Dan Orlovsky just said.
We got
above
two guys.
Average, like I said, they're above average.
We got two guys that I think do their due diligence, and one of them's in the no good, one of them's in the great category. And
yeah.
And yeah, so I mean, look, I fall somewhere in between. It's I think literally in between. They're a good defense. They've got a lot of potential. If you stay vanilla, and you allow them to get set, and you allow them to make all their calls, and you don't make them communicate, you don't make them adjust, there's a lot of really good teams, really good defenses in this league. Or let me say it to you this way. If you don't do those things, then there's several teams in this league on the defensive side of the football that will play above, really, their talent level because you allow them to get lined up, get their thoughts communicated, and then just attack and go play ball. And Kansas City's one of those teams, as Wade said, they're talented enough where if you sit up there and expect Deshaun Watson to process everything and make the perfect call every play, then Kansas City's going to be pretty damn good. They're going to come get you.
Now, listen, if you listen to what Dano said on there, he said their linebackers are really fast sideline to sideline, and he said they have some dynamic guys up front, Chris Jones and Frank Clark. But there was nothing mentioned about guys that can sit in there and stop the run when you go hit them in the mouth and go downhill them. And that's what they struggled with all year long. That's what they struggled with against the Texans the first time they played them in Week 6. And they haven't been tested in that department in past that test, in my opinion. When you look at them play against the San Diego Chargers, the L.A. Chargers.
We got it.
I watched that game on TV live. And so they're able to run the ball downhill at that team. And so that part doesn't change. And to me, you can't have a great defense or even a solid defense if you can't stop the run. And so they're going to struggle with that against the Texans, especially if the Texans run the ball in an unconventional manner.
Okay. unconventional manner, meaning RPO, a lot of Deshaun. All right, along those lines, here I feel like in this segment we've used my language to express a lot of the takes on this game, the language of gambling. But I think this will help forward the take that you guys have on the defense. I'm looking at an email from one of the online betting organizations. They've got over-under totals on Carlos Hyde, Deshaun Watson, and Duke Johnson rushing. You guys tell me. Carlos Hyde, over-under 62.5 yards. Keep in mind, he had a buck something in the first game against these two.
I'm going to say under.
Okay, I'm going to say this. If he doesn't go over 62.5, it might be a long day for the Texans.
I'll explain why, but I'm saying under for Hyde.
Okay. Deshaun Watson, what do you say, 62?
I'll go over.
Over. Deshaun Watson, 32.5.
Way over.
Okay, that helps explain it right there.
I'm going to go under.
Okay. It sounds like you guys should be betting with each other.
Somebody win.
Duke Johnson, 16.5 yards. Rushing.
Way over.
Way over. Okay.
Way over.
I'd go over there.
You agree on that one. Yeah. All right. All right. So I do think of those three. Actually, those three, I like Duke Johnson over 16.5. That's two carries for Duke the way he's been running.
Yeah.
But Deshaun over 32.5 yards, I'm with you on that, Wade. I think he's going to get deployed a lot like he did in the second half of that Bills game.
Yeah, I would expect Deshaun to have 50 to 80 yards rushing in this game. And I think the same thing for Duke Johnson. And then Carlos will end up somewhere around about 50, 60.
All right, your chance to win tickets to Sunday's Texans-Chiefs game in Kansas City happens right now. All right, there you go, 832-430-2-WIN. Wade, you played in Kansas City. What type of experience are these people going to get if they head there for a playoff game?
It's going to be an amazing experience. First of all, it's a divisional playoff game. The Kansas City Chiefs fans are hospitable, so you're not going to get anything thrown at you. You're not going to get spit on like if you were in Oakland or something like that. So they're going to tell you the places to go eat. They're going to tell you the places to go, find a nice restaurant, all that type of stuff. But it's going to be a good time. It's going to be cold. You need to bundle up. But Kansas City is a great place to watch a football game.
Did they ever spit on you in Kansas City, Dirty Red?
Never got spit on. I never played in Kansas City. Okay. Kansas City and Green Bay and New England, those are the three places that I never got a chance to play that I really wanted to.
Yeah.
Never got spit on, though. I guess a few times in college, but not in the league.
What was the worst place that you played in college in terms of the hostile environment? You played in the SEC.
LSU.
LSU?
Yeah, they threw bacon at us, pork chops at us. And of course, we were Razorbacks, so it's...
Wade got excited.
Yeah.
Wade's I'd pick it up and eat it.
Yeah, So, it got pretty nasty at LSU.
That's it.
Mississippi State was pretty bad.
Yeah.
For the most part, it was all right.
Yeah. We got to talk about Mike Leach at some point.
Yes.
Mississippi State. Things in business just picked up in the SEC for sure.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.